You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Bells will be ringing.
We continue on a Tuesday, the 18th day of December. And joining us after a day hiatus, Michael Musselman. What's up, bud? Oh. What an idiot. Not him, moi. I thought I had already called him already. Don't ask me why. And joining us now from Granbury, Texas, Michael Musselman. What's up, Gunner?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. You tell us. How was the...
The back's sore still. I mean, it's like it goes away and then it just comes back. But I'll get over it. It'll get through. I'll weather the storm.
We love that about you. What?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. No, I just threw my back out.
Right.
And then it's not like your lower back, you know, it's not like I've had lower back, you know, you're like, oh man, that hurts. This is like right between my shoulder blades. And so you can't get to it. You can't run. It's like, ah, shit. And it's like a knot. I don't know. Like I said, it's like a pinched nerve. Just some aggravating the shit out of me.
Did you, so you went to the doctor yesterday? Yes.
Yeah. I talked to the doctor.
Oh, you talked to the doctor. You didn't go to the doctor. So did they prescribe something for
no,
you?
No, I was out. Yeah. So we got that done. So actually, yes, I did go to the doctor, but I didn't see the doctor. It's like a nurse practitioner type thing.
Okay. And so what's the diagnosis?
A muscle spasm. I mean, like that's self-diagnosed. I did that.
All right. We don't want to know your diagnosis. Although, you know, well, no, you didn't diagnose your gallbladder.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
After I was told it was, I did.
We're talking about a...
Oh, yeah. I was spot on right when I was told about it.
Yeah. Yes, of course it is.
I was thinking this the whole time.
I know. So they gave you it's going to be treated with medication, muscle relaxers?
Yeah, just some muscle relaxers. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Just bothers me, man. It's like, you know, it's hard to explain.
I mean, when all of a sudden, let me tell you, I'll get muscle spasms in my lower back when I'll use it too much. They're a combination of, I was told, cramps and spasms from overuse. And let me tell you, and all of a sudden you just go stiff. And you don't move because it's like incredibly painful. So, but anyway, what's the cause?
Overexertion.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been doing?
Just lifting a lot of stuff, moving stuff around. You know, the garage needs to be restraightened all the time.
The Christmas.
Not bending my knees, probably. You know, when you lift something. Because we don't ever do that.
Yeah, nobody does.
So, until someone points it out to you, then you're like.
Oh, that.
Oh, yes.
Got it. I got some reviews in about the They Shall Not Grow Old, the World War I movie. It only shows on 2 days. And it shows on December 17th, so last night, and December 27th. What's his Granbury zip code? Do you know it?
No, I don't. Let me look it up. 76048.
76048. I'll tell you where it's playing near you.
Oh, I know where it's playing.
I got reviews in it, and they said, absolutely, positively, go see it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a documentary.
They said he does an interview after a 30-minute interview after all the credits roll. Make sure you stay for that.
Right.
Because it's absolutely worth going to see what they did with the video, the way it comes alive. It's in 3D.
But it's World War One, right?
Yeah, World War One. And, well, you know Mike Marletto?
Yeah, I know Mike Marletto.
100% go see it.
That's what Marletto said?
Yep. Actually, I didn't want to out him, right, in his email. Right. Here's what he said. Max saw it last night. Fucking awesome. Now, Mike Marletto is about as polished and as smart of a guy as a Marine that you'll ever meet. Okay?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. It's like 7 stars out of 5. Okay? Right. And so I emailed him back and I said, what's the image that you can't get out of your head? In the Jackson interview, he talks about a scene where there's a group of Brits sitting along a lane waiting to go into the attack. He shows the same lane today. It hasn't changed in over 100 years. You can see the look of anxiety and fear in the soldiers' faces. Jackson says that this was the last 30 minutes of life for virtually every one of those soldiers. He said he can't get that out of his head. But he said it's absolutely incredibly done. So anyway, I haven't got, I don't know why the website sucks that they have for this. And so when I hit enter on the search, nothing happens. So I'm.
Yeah, right now it's just showing me that it's only playing in the UK. Well, I could go to Sheffield or Christchurch, New Zealand.
Okay, go to this. Go to fathomevents.com. See if it works on yours.
Well, yeah, I am. That's what I'm doing. It's only showing me that I can go. London would probably be the closest because Christchurch is on the other side of the
country. All right, something's wrong.
But Christchurch would be a nice place to go right now. I like down there.
Okay, hold on. 76048. Would you like to give us your email address? No, I wouldn't. 76048. I think it's their website screwed up.
Yeah, it's not showing me anything.
Yeah, it's not coming up. It will, though. At some point, they will unscrew themselves because a while ago I did it, and it came up 3 theaters.
I'm going to call them. I'm going to call them right after I'm done with you. I'm sending them an email.
In my ear. Because the guy in Ohio, Ohio man, said that he tried to go last night, and it was sold out in the Columbus area. Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that it was sold out. So you couldn't go. So you can buy tickets on sale for the show on the 27th.
Oh, here we go. It just came up. Shit, man. I ain't going out there to go see this movie. Arlington? That's like Dallas. South Lake, Dallas. Grapevine, North Dallas. Or North Fort Worth, but still Dallas. No. I'll wait.
So North Fort Worth. Fort Worth is south of Dallas?
Fort Worth is west of Dallas.
Got it. And you're south of Fort Worth.
I'm southwest. I'm more west.
Than south? Than
south, yeah.
Got it. So you're
west. Actually, I'm a lot more west.
So you're.
I'm more like, I'm west, southwest, if you were to do that.
Of Fort Worth.
Of Fort Worth.
Got it.
And Arlington or Grapevine is like northeast of Fort Worth as you're going towards Dallas if you're going to go to the north end. And then Arlington is frickin' Dallas because it's a suburb. I mean, it's so frickin' big now. And then South Lake, I would never want to go there because that's where all the rich people and pretty people live.
Oh, really? The beautiful people live there?
Yeah, South Lake.
The Laguna Beach people live there?
Yeah, that's like Laguna Beach, because it's right next to Grapevine.
Yeah.
And they're very, like, but their community is no different than ours. I mean, it's just that it's a lot more image. They're worried about image. They're image people.
Really?
So yeah, if you're from South Lake, I'm sorry, but this is the truth. The truth hurts sometimes. Gotta face it. Yeah, they're all about everything. If you ever go to their website is, it reminds me of something you see out of California, like a city like Ladera Ranch or some kind of closed in
planned bullshit
planned community. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as opposed to like parts of Orange County that were out in the county and they weren't really zoned right, so they kind of grew crooked and the streets don't exactly match. Then you go into Irvine and this whole kind of Stepford Wives planned out green space, wide streets.
Oh, that's Trophy Club. City called Trophy Club.
God.
Trophy Club, man. I mean, if you live in a city called Trophy Club, come on.
Yeah. No, it's creepy.
What do you expect?
It's creepy. It's not like the world as you know it. It's like, it was like designed to be heaven.
Yeah.
Yes, this will be perfect. Like, oh, okay.
But the crazy thing about, like, Grapevine's a really, it's a neat city.
Grapevine doesn't sound like it should be a hoity-doity.
It is. It's a hoity-doity place.
Grapevine, that's like, you know.
But if you ever look at where Grapevine is on the map, it's like, it's on the northeast or northwest side of Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. So you got the airport right in the center, right?
Yeah.
Between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah.
DFW. And DFW is a city by itself.
Moderately busy.
Yeah. So Grapevine is like the first city, as you come out of DFW, it's the first city you run into to the north. And, you know, so it's right next to the god dang airport. So how can they be so hoity-toity?
Yeah, you can't be. When you're that close to the airport, you're not all that.
Yeah, so Trophy Club and South Lake are right there too. Coleyville. Euless. Yeah. So Arlington, dude, I'm looking at the map right now. No way. Nope.
Not going there?
No. Arlington, I have to go and face all of my my fears of being in crowded spaces. No.
Well, I know, but you're just going to go to the movie.
No, I'm looking at where the movie's at. The movie's right next to, right in the vicinity of the University of Texas at Arlington. It's by Six Flags. I mean, no, AT&T Stadium's right there. Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I think you should go. If
everybody in Arlington left, yes, maybe I would.
What is the distribution plan for the movie?
I'll call him. I'll tell him to send me a reel here to Grimberg.
Distribution plan. They shall not grow old.
What a bummer title, man. Why would you go see something that you know that it's going to be like, oh.
Because we've never seen it in, you know, we've never seen World War One like this.
I've watched the trailer. I've seen a lot of these clips.
Tickets will go on sale November. Skip the ad. So, let's see. The film was commissioned as part of the UK Arts Program for the First World War centenary. 100-year anniversary by the Imperial War Museum. I like the way that sounds in association with the BBC. The Fathom screenings will be immediately followed by pre-recorded offering insights into making the film. Okay, that's his. What happens after they show it in theaters? I can't find that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why the limited release. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, so you do this limited release, and then you would think that it would be distributed or available in DVD, or you could watch it on Amazon or Netflix or something like that, but evidently, I don't know.
So. The only movie I'm planning to go see, and I got sucked into it,
what?
Is Aquaman.
Aquaman?
Yeah.
Whoa. All right.
Well, it's the daughter. The daughter's a big Marvel geek.
Is she?
Yeah, she's a total nerd when it comes to Marvel stuff.
Going to see Aquaman? You know what? I mean, they're harmless movies, right? Fantasy, goofball stuff.
Yeah, but it's... Right? I mean, now don't get me wrong. I watching Wonder Woman. That was pretty. That was a good movie.
That's different.
Yeah, because I mean,
Wonder Woman's different. She's in a different criteria. She's a sexy girl. Yeah. Normally, these heroes are a little bit sexy too. You're not.
She's a heroine. Yeah. She's a sexy heroine.
It's like Angelina Jolie in Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I don't like her, but I like her in that movie.
Yeah, a lot of people liked her in that movie because, yeah, it was a good-looking girl. The Aquaman. No, Colleen likes Iron Man. I mean, she'll go see.
Yeah, oh yeah, same with my daughter. Yeah.
And they're pretty funny. Yeah. And I mean, they're entertaining movies. They're, you know, they're harmless way to spend a couple hours. And so I'll go see those. I'll go see those. And when in doubt, I fall asleep. And now the theaters are so comfortable, you could fall asleep before the movie starts. All laid out on a couch and stuff. If you haven't been to a theater lately, go check them out. They're pretty amazing. Couches. It's good. It's quality.
Oh, yeah.
Quality.
Recliners. Yeah. Order food.
Yeah. They bring it to you because they know what seat you're in.
Right.
Yeah. I'm on couch 7 Bravo. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How much butter would you like on your popcorn? Lots. Lots of butter. Lots of salt. Bring
some. Okay. I hate popcorn. I hate the sound it makes when you chew. It's like firing styrofoam. Nasty.
Change the show date to the 27th. It's not showing anywhere in CONUS today. The website that I was on, Fathom Events, there's only two. You have a choice of either looking for tickets on the 17th, and if you click on that tab, it says, "We're sorry, this is a past event." And then you click on the 27th, and it gives you the zip code box and the theaters near you and the times of those performances. And it tells you if the theaters are 3D or not, because the film's in 3D. Comes alive in front of you. So there you have it. I'm not scheduled to go see any movies, although I will buy tickets to go see this today. I've been wanting to see this based on the things I've read about it. So, yeah. But again, the website's called fathomevents.com. So if you go to that, you'll see They Shall Not Grow Old. And from a very smart Marine, he said, go see it. In spite
if it comes near me, I'll go see it, but I'm not going to the city.
Right. That's, you know, the hard part of living in small towns, right? It's frustrating because there's things you'd like to see, but they don't come near you.
That's right. It's okay with me.
Yep. Limited release. Christmas holiday period is hugely competitive time for studios to get screens. Perhaps they were initially unsure of its reception, didn't want to overcommit showings and waste seat capacity. They have channelized us into 2 dates. Possibly. You know, because it's a historical film that only a few of us would be interested in seeing. I don't know. I just don't see that it's going to be available, you know, on any other commercial site for seeing it or available in DVD form.
Yeah.
But I don't see that in anybody's plan. So maybe they don't want to say that until they finish their limited showing of it. I don't know. I'm not that much into the movie distribution situation. I'm gonna ask you an opinion question here. You ready?
Okay, go.
Read an article entitled "Deaths of Despair" yesterday, written by a guy named Philip Luke Jeffrey. The United States, with the exception of released a report on November 29th. It's an annual report entitled Mortality in the United States, revealed that in 2017, American life expectancy dropped for the third straight year, which hasn't happened since 1918, when a flu pandemic piled on top of the miseries of war. The causes of today's decline are far less dramatic. The troubling trend is driven largely by death from drug overdoses and suicide. Okay? Those two causes of death have risen steadily for the last 3 years, which has never happened.
Right.
Okay? Do you have a reason why those two causes of death would be rising at a historic rate in our culture, in our population?
No, but he's saying it's rising like this year.
It's risen for the last 3 years, which has been unprecedented. Both of them, suicide and drug overdoses.
Where did he get his information from?
Center for Disease.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Control and Prevention.
The CDC right. And Prevention. Because I'm looking at it. I have this bookmarked, and I always look at it because I want to see and the stats and stuff. And I don't see that rise. You know, I don't really see it like that, I guess.
You're going to have to put on your real glasses then.
Over the decade, but I'm looking at, okay, so now I'm opening up a PDF and reading trends. So life expectancy decreased 1 point a year. Good. Good. I think it needs to decrease even more. Get humans off the planet quicker. Age-adjusted death rates, alcohol-induced causes, firearm-related injuries increased in 2016 from 2015. But see, these are all 2016, the final report. Because, this is dated July 26, 2018. But it's the final data, and they always go 2 years later. So we won't see the 2018 stuff until 2020. And I don't know why they do this. In 2016, a total of 2.74 million people registered in the United States, dealing a crude death rate of 849 per, adjusted death rate. 15 leading causes of death, heart disease, always number one. None of that stuff even made it on the top 15. Parkinson's was at 14. Disorders. I've always wondered, because I've looked at this before and wanted to know, like, how does, this is broken down by ethnic group. And then all ages, crude or male, includes death and not origin of statistic. Okay. Here's the chart I'm looking for. Age adjusted, crude rate. We drop. Okay. So the same thing. They're just saying that we did drop. Percentage change. Yeah, you know what? I'll look into this more because if you look through this, there's like hundreds of pages of information, and they broke it down into charts. And I know one of them, and they deal like anemias, influenza, pneumonia, cerebral vascular diseases, arthrosis, malignant tumors, neoplasms of stomachs. That doesn't sound fun.
What are you talking about? The question was, do you have an explanation for...
I don't see it.
I'll send you a link, and you can check it out. I have a hypothesis. My hypothesis is... our culture has changed, and we don't get in trouble as kids anymore. We go to timeout corner. So there's essentially, as kids do what they want, they are rewarded for they're rewarded for showing up, and they're told that their feelings are the most important thing, and then there's a collision that's on the horizon when life intervenes and it doesn't work out that way. And so what do we do? Do we have the things that used to be part of our culture, which is hard work, perseverance, overcome all that stuff. No, it's how did that make you feel today? And so we don't have the infrastructure. And so I think that then what happens, we go get medicated. And that's all that does is numb us. It doesn't help us. And we know that from our experience and from constantly looking at, you know, trying to make sense of how the VA treats us. More than willing to medicate us. Will you help me get to a better place? Well, yeah, we'll certainly try, and you should get there, blah, 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 blah. And so I think the cumulative effect of that change, we're talking about it relative to the Marine Corps, the defanging of NCOs, because you can't hurt their feelings. And so this thing is seeped starting, you know, when years and years ago, probably in the late 70s, early 80s. I remember the early 80s was, or probably the late 80s was the first time I ever heard of Time Out Corner. And it slowly but surely has taken the resiliency out of our, out of our population. Because
it's when you give an inch. This is truly us giving an inch. You know, because we've always given, like you said, how did we lose this in the Marine Corps? Well, because we gave the inch. Right. We're like, oh, you know what? We'll let this one. It's this. When you start giving up all of these little insignificant things, those inches turn into freaking miles.
Right. And then you look up one day and you say,
You can't never get it back now.
And you look up and you say, how the fuck did we get here?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we compromised on this, and now it takes an act of Congress to approve EMI, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. But again, if you look at that cumulative in somebody's life, right, if you don't have somebody that prepares you for when life kicks you right in the face about five straight times, and that you can't get up the sixth time, then you go get medicated, and then you go get on life's off-ramp, or you go move back in with your parents. And so to me, that, you know, adversity is overcome by hard work. That creates esteem, right? Esteem tested over time creates maturity. And that's how you become. You have to deal with adversity. And so to me, it's interesting. I saw this study and I thought, you know, it's the logical outcome of. And then these kids don't behave well, and so what do we do with them at a young age? We say they're ADHD, and then we put them on a medication. I mean, shit, man. And so that's how it goes. And I just think it's so wrong. But I think that contributes. And then it's interesting, people that see these statistics say, hey, we need a new class of drugs. We need to develop better drugs for depression. Okay. All right. I got it. So I think it's interesting, and I think that and if you look at places that tend to have lower incidence of these, all tend to be traditional Midwestern Nebraska.
Rural.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yeah, rural America.
Nebraska and North Dakota were mentioned specifically, saying that their numbers were extremely low. What are they? Traditional societies, traditional cultures, a more conservative
Christian,
way.
Yeah. Conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just wondered if you had any thoughts of it, because I think it's interesting stuff.
But it's as a family, as a parent, if you're trying to, when you're raising your child, and I'm not saying you do it like when you were a kid, you know, like when we were kids, but when you start giving into this is the new norm of raising children, all you're doing is you're taking us back. You're giving up. Not inches anymore. You're giving up feet. We're never going to get back, and our children are going to suffer, and then their children are going to suffer, and as a whole society, we're going to suffer. And that's what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing basically a new normal, and we're not comfortable with it because, you know, this is outside of where we were. This is no different than, you know, being 50 years old when Elvis Presley took the stage, and you're like, good God, gracious mother, what is this guy doing? You know, condemn him.
Wait, do that again. Good God what?
Good God gracious mother. You know, because back then they used to call each other, instead of husband and wife, they'd say mother or father. Come here, mother. What's up, father?
That is funny. And again, we've sacrificed that stuff.
It's a new norm.
Right. Right. And to me, when you look at what are the things you have to, if you love your kid and you say, okay, we're going to design and build this kid throughout the course of his or her life, what do we have to do for that kid? Well, we got to teach him how to swim. That's really important. I don't want to read
my life events.
Yeah. And then how do we teach him how to cope with life? How do we do that?
You punch him in the face every day. Not hard, but just enough to make his eyes water.
And then I think as a parent, if you don't think of that, and you think that the public school system and the rest of the bullshit way that people raise kids prepares them for life, you're absolutely positively crazy.
Well, you're setting them up for failure.
That to me is, look, it's beyond like, oh, I don't like timeout corner. Oh, I do. I can never raise my hand to my kid. Okay, then don't. Okay, but your kid needs to understand what no means. And your kid needs to handle no graciously and have it be as concrete as corporal punishment Kathleen was when she said no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you don't do that, the only person you're hurting is your kid. And then, in my opinion, you see it manifest itself in, I'll give you another leadership example. Kid going to get assigned to ARS down at where? Point Loma, Mike? Where is that?
I think it's Point Loma.
Point Loma, that's where they wear the slippers, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not like I've been there. I just. Yeah.
Well, no, you probably went down and visited people, right?
Yeah.
Right? So, can't go because you need to have three uniforms, only has one. Okay, we'll go buy the other two. Had to pay back alimony and has negative $300 in his bank account. Okay, and being investigated for child pornography. What? Why are we sending them to...
There's all sorts of shit.
Yeah, right? I mean, this is like normal business, right? So how does a kid get that fucked up? You know? And it doesn't have any of this infrastructure that people need to become solid, hard-working, productive human beings. I see those as logical things that happen in a nation where you at the center of your life. Can you imagine, Mike, living your life on a daily basis where your feelings were like the focal point of?
Oh.
Hey, Gunner, how are you? Oh, I'm down today.
You know, I wouldn't have made it because, like I said, when people came in, Gunner, you look like you're something's got you down. You got a case of the Mondays.
Yeah,
I'd throw my stapler at your head.
I do. What's wrong? No, I had a fight with my wife.
Yeah, get over it.
I don't think I'm as sensitive to her needs as I need to be.
Cry me out. Yeah, that was my counseling. Cry me a river of tears. Go ahead, baby. Calm down.
But I mean, can you imagine how that would wear your ass out if that was the way you went through life? Oh my God. What's going on? How do you feel today? Oh, awful. I was watching Michael Flynn get sentenced. It just made me feel so bad.
Yeah,
it made me feel bad for Michael Flynn. Don't be stupid and don't lie to the FBI when they show up. And after, look, until they read you your rights, it's all good, okay? So if I have to explain this to you, once they read you your rights, then either, right, take the fifth. Or tell the truth, one of the two, right? But don't tell lies to the FBI. No bueno.
Right.
Got it?
Exactly.
Okay. You mean none? Yeah, like, I mean none. So, I don't know.
Well, you can't take the fifth. Right? On a grand jury indictment. You can't. It's either you have to.
Well, you can't be forced to incriminate yourself, so you would make no statement.
Right.
I then refuse to answer on the grounds that I may incriminate myself. Or I don't know that you say that, you just don't answer. We? Or no?
Not that I've ever
had my rights read to me or anything like that. But I've been told by people that have that that's what they do.
Right. But I'd have my tongue removed. Just take it out, Bob.
Yeah, just thinking about how other people have gone through that stuff in their lives. Here's an email. I'm trying to go see it, It's not near me.
Yeah, I know. Go to Christchurch, New Zealand. There right now. Go.
But that was a pretty powerful little thing you read, Mac. I don't know if I want to go there. I would understand. I would understand if somebody said, hey, you know, I just don't know that I want to go and watch that. If it's that real, I don't know that I would want to watch that. Yeah, you know what? I agree. But, you know, again, to me, the first time I saw it, I thought it was some kind of reenactment. And I said, what's that? They said, oh, the guy, you know, made a movie about World War One. I said, whoa, look at that. That's cool. And I thought it was a reenactment that they had restored or made a mock-up or something. Because the tank is huge. It's going over the tanks of World War One. They had, like, turrets.
They're like a four-bedroom house.
Yeah, they had, like, turrets in the casing of the track. Like, in the body that the track went around, there was a turret in that son of a bitch. And there was one on the left and one on the right. There was one on top. You know, it was, like, all kinds of crazy shit going on. And there was, like, a boat. And things ginormous. And so I thought it was a mock-up. And my nephew said, no, Uncle Michael, that's a real thing. I said, what do you mean? He said, the dude digitized and colorized the film. I said, get out of town, man. Get out of here with that bullshit. He said, I swear to God. And so then I sat down and watched it. I was like, holy shit, man. This is like in Wizard of Oz when you go from black and white to color. Poof. So, anyway,
playing at a place called Hoyts.
Where is
it? Hoyts.
In Christchurch?
Yeah. I have the phone number. I should call him right now. Oh, no. This says Christchurch. Man, see, this is what I hate about. What a bullshit advertiser. That's not Christchurch. It's out of sight. Have you been to New Zealand?
No, come on, man.
Dude, New Zealand's freaking awesome.
When were you in New Zealand?
I was there in, what year was that? 92? After leaving Australia, we went through New Zealand.
After leaving Australia, you went to...
Oh, yeah, double duty.
On a Mew?
No. No, shit, no. We were just on a carrier big, duty.
When you were on the Love Boat cruise?
Because New Zealand doesn't, you can't go in there with nukes.
Who says anybody has nukes?
Nuclear powered ship. So nuclear powered aircraft carriers cannot go there. Only conventional carriers can go there.
I see.
Kind of nuclear power plant can't go there.
I was going to say, but that's only if somebody confirms or denies the presence of nuclear weapons. You're talking about nuclear propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you now. I got it. New Zealand. So what's New Zealand like? I've heard, you know what? I've heard really cool things about New Zealand, and the people that I've met that are from New Zealand are fun.
I've lived there not for a few.
Seem to be wonderful, great people.
Yeah.
And it was.
Oh, it's playing at Christchurch Entertainment Central. That's where it's playing. That's a nice freaking movie theater.
Of course. Come on. Christchurch is a beautiful place.
Yeah, they just got nailed in an earthquake. Yes. So it's playing at Christchurch Entertainment Central.
I like the names of cities like that. I like distinctive, like Grapevine. I like that. I like Yellowknife up in, is that in Saskatchewan or up in the Yukon? I like Moose.
That's up in the, yeah.
Yeah. I like
that's up in Canada.
I like Moose Jaw. You know?
Moose Jaw.
Yeah, I like Thief River Falls. I like names like that. That's like, yeah, I'm from Thief. Really? I'm from War Road. Like, whoa, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
You don't like Costa Mesa?
Yeah, what is that? That is.
Yeah, what is that? What does that mean? And everybody gives you a different translation for it.
It means the cost of a table. Oh, really?
Yeah. How about White Settlement? That's just up the road for me.
Oh, you know what? There was a guy who played football at the University of North Dakota that he came from Spearfish, South Dakota. It just sounded awesome in the interview. And now playing quarterback, number 7 from Spearfish, South Dakota. You're like, whoa, that's a cool name. Kelby Klosterman. So, yeah, there's some cool... There's some cool names. Spearfish, I like that, though. Flynn, they never quote read him his rights. In fact, McCabe's actual discouragement discouraged him from bringing a lawyer. Comey is out there bragging about this. Lots of questions about how this was done. Also reading that Mueller team deleted thousands of texts between Strzok and Page. Possibly this was superfluous, but... seems highly irregular, knowing they are at the center of the mess. The stench grows stronger. It's got to end soon. You know what? I don't know what stench he's talking about, whether it's from the Trump administration, which seems to be rotten with this stuff all over the place, or if we just picked and choose Trump's guys. Because if you're going to get Flynn for this kind of shit, how many other people in Washington, D.C. just gulped and said, uh-oh?
Yeah, just about everybody, yeah. Even their secretaries.
Yeah, so what, two of Flynn's associates got indicted for failing to register as agents for Turkey? Who else is doing somebody else's bidding that isn't registered as an agent and just picking up and making phone calls? Is it the fact that it's Trump and our media hates Trump and he's the biggest show in town? He's the biggest show in the world. And this is the drama, so we're going to – or is the fact that this shit was wrong? But, again, you don't have to tell Mike Flynn. You don't have to tell Mike Flynn. You don't have to tell Mike McNamara. You don't have to tell Mike Musselman when this shit's getting serious and when I should shut up and get a lawyer and when I shouldn't lie.
They just – you know, they go after him just because.
That's fine. That's fine. But let me tell you, Flynn lived in the intel world. He knew how important his clearance was. And when you're sitting and talking to FBI and they're asking you pointed questions and they're nosing around, nobody needs to tell you up from down because you know it. He lived right in that world. So, I mean, if he lied, that's on, in my opinion, that's on him. We can make a million excuses for his ass, but there is none. He should know better than that. And the only thing he had to say was, sorry, boys, if I'm going to speak to you, I'm going to have a lawyer present. Come on, right, man. That's like, that's stupid guy smart. Like, so that's not even smart guy smart. That's just stupid guy smart. So right. I don't, Flynn to me, I don't, supposedly he's like, his whole life has been destroyed between the cost of attorneys and whatnot. I wonder how much of a different deal he would have got if he would have just represented himself. Mr. Flynn, where's your attorney? I'm acting as my own, Your Honor. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Am I going to get a worse deal than I'm going to get? First of all, I'm not going to say I'm not talking to anybody. Okay. Do I need to pay $2.3 million to figure that one out? No. Okay, and then I'll decide what deal that I make. Oh, all right. Lawyers. I'm not sure they help Flynn out a whole lot. So, anyway, I could be wrong, but I've had my rights read to me. You ever had your rights read to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, does anybody have to tell you to shut the fuck up once that happens?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
Would you like to make a statement this time?
Nope. Oh. No. Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
I at one point, I remember getting interviewed by that kind of stuff, and they asked me that. Would you like to make a statement? I said, nope. Would you like to say anything at all? Nope. And they're like, well, you know, only guilty people have things to hide. And I said, no. That's what they tell you in school. But the truth of the matter is, only smart fucking people don't say anything at all. Okay? Not guilty people. Smart people. Smart people lawyer up, boys and girls.
That's exactly the truth. Shut up, lawyer up. You go up twice. Shut up.
Yeah, but he's my friend.
Hey, and no, the other thing, Only the guilty.
Sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, hey, when we said only the guilty ran, too. But I'll tell you what, if you could see the shit that happened when we either rolled in or when an ID went off, you'd fucking run, too. You wouldn't be standing around waiting to see what happened. Oh, let me just stand here and hope they don't shoot me. Yeah, I
used to drive me crazy when people was like, well, if you got nothing to hide, you got... No, you don't understand.
Dude.
It doesn't matter. Shut up, get a lawyer, don't speak anymore. You know what? Because they are not... It's not about your interests. It's not... They're not like, oh, you know, I gotta put your interests first. No. No. And so when I see this stuff going on at the highest levels of DC, and these guys, you know, like, and these guys are supposed to be smart.
Right.
Shit. The Lance Corporal, underground Lance Corporal Network knows this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't say a word.
Yeah. Lawyer up. Lawyer up, boys. That's, yeah. I mean, that's like a saint.
And especially a guy like, I mean, look, when you make your...
Flynn?
When you make your business in the intel community...
And you,
you're around investigations all the time. You know the deal. But you know what? I mean, do you think he was so arrogant that he, you know, he thought he could play games? And
I think he thought, that he was.
He strikes me.
He was Mr. like a living Jason Bourne type guy, or you know.
I'm smarter than you.
I'm smarter than anybody here. I work for IMF, Impossible Mission Force. You know, he's probably that kind of guy. And then all of a sudden, when shit started really happening, he's like, what's going on?
What happened?
This ain't supposed to happen like this.
What do you mean? Perjury? Oh. And, you know, you see Michael Cohen, man. Michael Cohen was an arrogant, greedy asshole. And then the day he gets sentenced, he brings his daughter to see that shit. You've never seen his daughter ever. And now he's going, what's he going to do? Holler in the court so the judge will feel sorry for his lame ass? What a piece of shit, man.
If I was the judge, you're like, Mr. Cohen, is this your daughter? Yes, Your Honor, it is. Young lady, what's your name? Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I want you to look at your loser father right now. Look at him. Just look at him. A broken man who has to take you here for some kind of sympathy card. Doesn't work.
Yeah. No, I mean, you've never, ever seen either. You've seen his son a couple times in different videos of him walking down the street. You've never seen his wife, never seen his daughter. But solid family shows up. That guy was, he knew what Trump, he was the fixer, right? Proudly wore it and then exploited it by selling his access to the Oval Office for hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now you want to come in front of us and say, oh, woe is me. Do your 3 years and be gone. Go away.
Right.
Yeah. And Flynn, but come on, man. Come on. Email. Mac, in addition to colorizing the film, Jackson added voices based on having lip readers figuring out what was being said and sounds from the original equipment like action of rifles being loaded, etc. Jackson also has an extensive collection of World War I uniforms and equipment that he used to get colors and sounds right. Yeah, I'm
so it's not 100%.
What do you mean it's not 100%?
It's not 100% real.
Well, the images are, but the audio he has recreated based on reading lips. So it's not their actual voices.
Yeah, it would be I'm not dubbed a big audio. Fan now. Just told me that from the get go. I can't see something like this now. I can't endorse something like this.
Oh my god! Yeah, when
I
you
can't do this.
When you hear somebody say, "Hey, this war's bullshit. I just want to go home," but you look at his lips like that's not what he's saying. What he's really saying is, "Can somebody hand me another bandolier of ammunition for this beautiful Springfield 03 rifle that I'm going to go kill some Germans with?"
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with this now.
Where's Alvin York? Go.
Hard time.
It doesn't matter. I'm going. Mike's not going because he doesn't like to drive and he doesn't like crowds. And he's a baby, and so he's not going.
Oh, name-calling, Matt? Come on. We have to get to name-calling.
Are we reduced to that?
We went right from this to... Name calling.
No, we never have left. we've never left name calling. So, like, I don't know how you, like, oh, we went back to name calling?
So we were always in the chapter of name calling?
We've never left. Thank you. It's but you know that. You know that.
Name calling's never been below me. I swim in that sewer all the time.
Exactly. And if I'm not swimming in that sewer, it's because I'm trying to trick somebody.
Right.
It's not because that's genuinely me.
So, right. No. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. What else you got going on today? How's your back right now?
Because I'm sitting in this chair. It feels good.
So a specific chair helps?
Well, it's chairs that make me sit straight up, up and down.
So it's your bad posture.
Yeah. Nice. Thanks. Hey, do you remember the song All Things Must Pass by George Harrison?
No.
That, like, was one of his best songs ever. I was listening to that today.
All Things and then the Must other Pass? One. What are you, like, feeling? Were you feeling in the depths of loneliness or something?
No, All Things Must Pass. You know, George Harrison, My Sweet Lord. That's the name of the song, but it's from the album All Things Must Pass.
Which, well, is,
you know,
it,
my,
is it
My Sweet Lord is the name of the song. Oh. My Sweet Lord.
Yeah, it's too long, man. The album version of that is like 39 minutes.
Well, he's a former Beatle. They didn't know how to make anything short.
George Harrison became a recluse after somebody came onto his estate and stabbed him, right?
Right. And then he became, he never went out in public again. I mean, he was a weirdo, dude.
You know what? I listen to more of his music that he made with, I was just trying to play it, but I was just, he made some music with Tom Petty and some other dudes, and the band was called the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah.
And, he made a number of songs with them. Tom Petty's a part of that. Who else? I can't remember. But, hold on, here it is. My Sweet Lord.
The Traveling Wilburys, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, Bob Dylan.
George Harrison, Bob, Roy Orbison, and Tom Petty.
Yeah, they're really distinct voices. Bob Dylan, you know, with that. Do you like Bob Dylan? He's a Minnesota boy like you.
No, I didn't like Bob Dylan.
Oh, wow.
I didn't like that voice. That reminds me of Bruce Springsteen.
I was going to say, same fucking gig, man.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Not a real, and this is traveling Wilburys.
Wilburys. Roy Orbison, though, on the other hand, he was a genius.
Yeah, there's a song called "Tweeter and the Monkey Man" that they sing. Dylan sings it, and Roy, and they all had very distinct voices. Dylan and Orbison. Orbison has this. I don't know. Springsteen would describe it as a sweet, sweet voice. One of the sweetest voices music's ever created. I saw him. He spoke at Orbison's funeral. And I listened to more of George Harrison singing this.
Orbison to me was something else.
Are you an Orbison fan? What's your favorite song?
Well, I'm listening to. I'm listening to "Tweeter and the Monkey." The Monkey Man right now.
Are you? Tweeter and the Monkey Man were hard up on cash.
Spent, yeah, they stayed up all night selling cocaine and hash.
Selling my kids
to an undercover cop who had a sister named Jan for some reasons. She loved the Monkey Man.
She loved the Monkey Man. My kids can sing that song.
So
it was one of the songs that they remember from us driving around to hockey games and shit like that. That thing comes on, and they go crazy. It's hilarious. Yeah. Tweeter and the Monkey Man. It's, you know what? It's, and it's got these great lyrics to it. So I listened to more of George Harrison, like that. Hold on. Let me just play.
Is this Tweeter and the Monkey Man?
Yeah. But I gotta tolerate the ad. So here's Tweeter and the Monkey Man. Stand by.
Tweeter and the Monkey Man were
much.
Dylan, man, you need to hear like two notes from Dylan before you can say that is Bob Dylan. He's got one of the most distinct voices you'll ever hear in music. From Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear anything?
That's fine. I'll listen to it.
Judge Soleil's Michael Flynn's sentencing. What's going on there? You know what?
You know.
Here's what I have a problem with, and I hope to the judges in these cases at some point get to this. This whole thing starts with a bunch of shit, with a fake dossier that goes into our political system, and now all these people are having their lives ruined in an effort to implicate the president, you know. And so to me, this just leaves me icky. Look, if you did this in any political campaign, do you think you wouldn't find people that did the things that these people have done? And yet these people are getting their lives ruined. Why? Because it all started with a bunch of fake bullshit that was being peddled around.
Right.
At some point, I hope a judge says, hey, stop. I want to understand this. So your surveillance is based on this document that you believed at the time, but which we now know is all bullshit. And so everything that's come out of it is what? It's based
bullshit.
On bullshit.
But they don't want it to go away because just that one chance that it hits something that destroys.
Well, not everything. Manafort, I mean, that guy has done what they said he did in terms of tax evasion and all that. But the only reason their lives are being ruined is in an effort to get to the president based on a false dossier that started all this. And
right.
So to me, Mueller has an obligation to the country to say, what was the level of collusion?
There
right?
you go.
And he should come out and say it. Look, you had a bunch of low level fools running around acting like Michael Cohen attempting to peddle influence. Was there the only connection we've seen is in the business dealings of then candidate Trump with the mayor of Moscow and things like that in the Trump Tower project that was going on, wherever the fuck it was going on. But is there any evidence of this? The answer to that is no, or whatever the answer is, say it. But what
the fatal flaw, though, Mac, is the fact that your assumption that Mueller is a stand-up guy.
He's a Marine. Come on.
Oh, shit. Freaking the political advisor for Clinton's campaign was a Marine. What was that guy's name? He's dead now.
I don't know. Who?
You don't talk about Cavella or
James James Carville?
Carville.
He's alive.
That guy's the most toxic guy in the world. He's a former Marine.
He lives down by you.
He's dead, isn't he?
No. He's married to Mary Matlin, living in New Orleans.
Yeah, damn it.
Yeah, there you go. Don't
but he's know. A former Marine, and he's the most toxic human being on the planet. I'd punch him in the face.
He is pretty toxic, that guy. And he doesn't hold back too. He never the word put a cork in it never ever darkened his ear holes.
I don't know how he made it through the Marine Corps.
With that mouth?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see look at his military record. How did that dude do in the United States Marine Corps? All right, what else you got going today? Flynn, sentencing delayed. And so I hope they ask questions about, you know, look, I'm not good with it. I'm not good with some of the ways some of these things happened. And look, all this is clearly an effort to get at the President of the United States. Do you have any evidence, you know, that if I was Trump, I'd pardon every one of them. I don't give a shit, man. The people that were involved in my campaign were no different from the people involved in the Clinton campaign. And if people can't admit that, then don't even. I didn't want to talk to you about it. If you don't think this is the same, you know the whole drain the swamp thing. The swamp creatures live on virtually the entire political spectrum. So it's not like the left has a swamp and the right has a swamp. It's the same swamp. And so when these political campaigns are staffed, they're back with people from the swamp. They all do the same things. There's fixers on the left, right?
Right.
So it drives me crazy when people, you know, they rail on Trump. And I said, look, you know, he's no different than the Clintons. If you can't admit that, then we can't talk.
Well, no, he's not any worse than those guys.
No, they're the same group. They were friends. They were buddies until they started throwing rocks at each other. Now they don't speak, so.
Right. Well, maybe they do. It's just a big ploy. I don't know. You never know.
To sell a book?
Yeah.
People
sell politics.
Interesting. See, you're always thinking over the horizon.
Yeah. It would not surprise me if it turned out that this was just all, I mean, it was a big ploy. They were still best of buddies.
Come on.
And everybody's interconnected. Yeah. Dude, I'm so sick of all of them.
Hmm. All right, so tell me, anything exciting going on? Do you have a rehab day? Oh, the associated masses, the congregated masses of photographers that wanted to get the Pulitzer Prize-winning photograph, and outside of the courtroom, were sorely disappointed today. Got to show up again tomorrow.
Oh, poor things.
Yeah, or whenever. Hold on.
Right.
I'll read you from the Associated Press. The latest. A federal judge has declared a recess until 12:30 p.m. at the sentencing hearing for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan said Tuesday that he, quote, can't hide my disgust, my disdain for this criminal offense. Flynn pleaded guilty last year to lying to the FBI about his Russia contacts. Prosecutors are not seeking any prison time for Flynn, citing extensive cooperation in the special counsel's Russia probe. Sullivan said that he'll take into account Flynn's service to the country and its cooperation, but will also factor in aggravating factors in deciding the sentence. Whoa. Yeah, that's the weird thing, right? So evidently the plea deal or the recommendation, because the judge is not in on the deal. The prosecutor is, and that's the recommendation from the prosecutor. But if the judge said, I ain't fucking playing this shit, that dog don't hunt, then the judge does what he does. Whoa. Not good for the Flynn program. That's not what we wanted to hear today. We wanted to go there, get our picture taken, looking remorseful, and leave and turn the page on this.
Right. Yeah, I'm just sick.
What do you think?
Sick of it now.
All right. Well, you know, and again, that's what, to me, Mueller owes the country, man. This can't, otherwise.
That's the assumption that he's a stand-up guy.
I have to believe that.
You're making the assumption that
I have to believe that Mueller's a stand-up
Mueller
guy.
Thinks like you.
I have to believe that Mueller's a stand-up guy. That's
yeah, you
got to
believe that Mueller's a good guy. If he's a good guy, good guys do that shit. But other than that, then he's not. And it's like, when was the last good guy in Washington?
That's a good question. Last good guy in Washington.
Yeah, a long time ago, man.
George H.W. Bush was a good guy.
He was. And he was probably one of, because he worked across party lines. He was not that, yeah. He was a good guy. And, you know, and he was a proof that it wasn't about him. That a lot of people say, oh, you know, I don't like using that word legacy. Bullshit. It's the first thing you think of. You know, it's like, you see, you meet a young captain who's already got his eyes on being a general. They're like, you know what I'm talking about. You know, he's like got his career planned. He's got it on paper. He got to do this, and this. Get these kind of reviews.
You hear that and you're just like, what are you talking about?
Dude, I ran into those guys.
You know, you hear him saying it and you're just like, you're just like, what? Like, I didn't even know, like, well, what are duty stations for, like, majors with, you know, successful company command tours? Like,
they got it all planned out, man.
Oh, yeah, recruiting, then back to the fleet, and then you got to do joint.
Get this
and
job, yeah, get this job, get that yeah, school.
I've got a friend there.
Oh, yeah. And it's, But then there's other guys that, you know, they're just, they do their frickin' job. Like, you know, the Eric Smiths and those kind of guys, and they're duly rewarded.
Listen to this. This is what you said, something that reminded me of something that Alan Simpson said. I'll quote his eulogy of George Bush. Recall the Andrews Air Base conclave where congressional participants drafted a remarkable bill that dealt with two-year budgeting, entitlement reform, comprehensive and catastrophic health care, Social Security solvency, and much more. But it required a critical ingredient called revenue. Translated into the word taxes, translated into the words, read my lips. And the group went to George and said, look, we can get this package done, but we must have some revenue. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, quote, what I have read on the subject sure puts a hell of a lot of heat on me. And then they all said, yes, but we can get it done, and it will be bipartisan. And George says, okay, go for it, but it will be a real punch in the gut. Bob Dole, a loyal warrior for George, took it back to the Senate, and he won a very strong bipartisan vote. It went over to the House, where his own party turned on him, surely one of the main factors assuring his return to private life. But he often said, quote, and this is the part that Mike's made me think about, when the really tough choices come, it's the country, not me. It's not about Democrats or Republicans. It's for our country. It's for the country that I fought for.
Right.
So.
It's a stand-up guy, man.
Yeah. Maybe the last good guy. And we miss him. We miss those guys. And there was no greater example of it than Bob Dole straining to stand up and salute. We miss that. We miss that element of putting our differences aside.
Of sacrifice.
Yeah, and even on a bipartisan way, you know, meeting with Mueller and saying, hey, for the good of the country, you've got to get to there and tell us if there's any there. Okay.
Yeah, and then be honest and tell us.
And then you can do your prosecution after that, but this has to cease being a political pawn, right? It's not right. Okay, so is there any there in this thing, all right? And I know you could keep this enterprise going forever, but the question is, you have to tell us, for the good of the nation, is there any there? So anyway, all right, man, I will let you go. I will talk to you on Thursday. Hope your back feels better.
Yeah, Thursday, and then I'm off Friday. I'll be on Christmas break. We'll be in Colorado.
Nice. So you leave on Friday?
Yeah.
Nice. You fired up to go to Colorado?
Yeah.
All right. Have a good day.
We'll talk later. Yep.
There you have it, Michael Musselman. 15 minutes late. Unbelievable. That's right. Unbelievable. Don't touch that dial. My thanks to Grant Neuschamon for coming on and throwing water on the party. In the first hour, you'll hear my discussion of what I believe is a logical progression. Adversity in life, especially in the life of young kids, helps develop esteem. And you develop esteem by overcoming adversity. The job of parents is to be stewards of that. Don't protect them from adversity. Promote them overcoming. And for kids, most of the time, it's adversity that they brought into their lives. That esteem, as they, over time, replicated, makes them mature, full of brown human beings. If you do that, the probability that they will wind up as a drug user or a victim of suicide, I would tell you, is probably low. Not zero, but certainly low. And make sure you share with them the Eight Commandments and two goals of post-traumatic winning. All right. Anyway, you'll hear about that. Medicating more people is not the solution, okay? It ain't. And we've got to turn our back on that stuff. So then you hear Grant Newsham. I brought Grant Newsham on to talk about an article that he wrote because I was pretty geeked that the Japanese were converting a helicopter ship, a helicopter carrier, into a platform that would take the F-35. I think we buy the Bravo version. That's the V-Stole version. So, yeah, I was geeked about that. I thought that was good. Then, Newsham comes on and says, they have some more. First of all, the budget's not being expanded. What? Yeah, that's how the Japanese do it. Well, then how do you pay for this in addition to that? There you go, Mac. So he throws a wet blanket on and says Japan has more fundamental issues to deal with than creating aircraft carrier. So, but we would encourage the Germans to watch the Japanese. At least they're trending in the right direction. Germany, you suck. Then we had a discussion about the movie They Shall Not Grow Old, which premiered last night. We had a couple people that saw it, and one reviewer that said, go see it. Without a doubt, go see it. So, go see it. And then the gunner joined us after being gone for a day with a pain in his back. Upper back, not lower back. Muscle spasm or cramps or something. Tomorrow you're going to hear an interesting interview that I'll record tonight. Ben Lunick, Lance Corporal, United States Marine Corps, lost part of a leg in Iraq in 2006 in the city of Ramadi. And you're going to hear about his journey back and then trying to make sense of life. I've told the story before, but they got briefed to go on a patrol. Ben and the guys in his vehicle are standing around, literally smoking and joking. And his best friend, a corporal by the name of Van Alstyne, was supposed to be the gunner in the vehicle that day. Ben was supposed to be driving. And so Ben standing there, didn't feel like driving, said, hey, Van, do you mind switching with me today? Van Alstyne says, no. So out they go. They roll over an ID. The ID detonates just aft, just behind the front left tire, right in front of Van Alstyne, kills him instantly, and blows off part of Ben's leg, and ejects Ben from the vehicle. And so it's a lot to deal with, right? I mean, survivor guilt when you didn't do anything like that. Why them and not me? How about when you're directly responsible for changing places and try to make sense with that? So you'll hear from Ben, and then he got out, and I'll just say that he floundered for a bit, and then he met a girl and got into physical fitness, and he became a mentor, moved to the I want to say Scottsdale area, Phoenix Scottsdale area, and became a mentor for young kids and helping them overcome adversity. And so you're going to hear his story. Now he's a police officer in Colorado Springs and looking to do other things too. So, yeah, how about that? You're going to hear Ben Lunick from Grand Forks, North Dakota. I was on the city council with his father and met him when he was a PSC right out of the School of Infantry at an event. So he's a good buddy, and his story's a great one. He hadn't been on for a while, so I figured I would bring him on, and we'll tell his story and what he's learned about life and all of that. So you'll hear him tomorrow. So don't miss that. It's an awesome interview, Ben Lunick. So have a great day on a – what day of the week is it? on a Tuesday. All Marine Radio. Over and... We should be out here in a second. We should be out now. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Over and out.